The world is yours.
Here stand for the time with great everlasting pride, where knowledge awaits us all.
Men have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now in an NBC educational feature, the United States Department of the Interior, Office of Education, brings you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge.
Smooth, gliding, graceful, the sinuous ease of a flowing shadow.
Swift as light in anger, majestic, rhythmical in its speed.
An animal to whom nature has given the most musical of all movements, the brightest of her colors, and the vibrancy of her temper, deadly, hypnotic in its ferociousness.
Color, now dazzling, glittering, metallic, now rippling, soothing, soft.
Beauty unequaled. Grace unsurpassed.
Deadliness unrivaled in its swiftness.
Beauty, grace, death in a rippling camouflage of color. Nature's misunderstood villain of the animal world, the snake.
And so you see, Mona, that hoop snake story is a lot of nonsense. There's not a bit of truth to it.
And I've heard that story so many times. My grandfather used to tell me about seeing hoop snakes rolling down a hill with their tails in their mouths.
Well, your grandpa was spoofing you, Mona. It just isn't so.
You know what else he used to tell me?
What?
He used to say that the hoop snake had a stinger on the end of his tail, and when he stuck it into a tree, the tree would die within a half hour.
Well, you know, that's the best one yet.
Yes, and he told me lots more stories, too, the old fibber. He said that there was a milk snake once that used to live in his barn at home. Well, he noticed that the cows weren't giving the usual amount of milk. And one day, he surprised this snake milking a cow. Could you imagine that?
Oh, sure. I've heard all those old snake stories.
I was only about 8 years old then, and I believed everything Grandpa said.
Well, you know, stories like that are the things that give snakes a bad reputation.
You don't have to give them a bad reputation. They have one already.
Well, what's the matter? Don't you like snakes?
Oh, they give me the shivers.
Why?
I don't know. Just the name gives me the creeps. Every time I take a walk in the woods, I'm in deadly fear of being bitten.
And I suppose every time you see a snake, you have the desire to kill it.
Say, I wouldn't even go near one. But my father kills every snake he sees.
Well, does he tear up $5 bills, too?
What?
Well, what if I told you that every time your father killed a snake, he was practically tearing up a $5 bill?
What do you mean?
Do you know that a good-sized snake, we'll say like a bull snake weighing 2 or 3 pounds, will eat enough mice and rats to save the farmer many dollars worth of feed and grain every year?
Oh, I know, but
you mean
that
you knew that, and still you agree that snakes should be killed on sight?
But they're dangerous. If they ever bite you, you're a goner.
You know, that makes me furious.
Why?
Intelligent people believing such things. You know that only about 10% of all the snakes in the United States are poisonous. There are hundreds of snakes that are as harmless as a baby and valuable, too, to mankind.
Well, I'm from Missouri. You've got to show me.
Well, all right. Come on in the reptile house here.
All right.
You know, I'm kind of glad we came to the Smithsonian Zoo today. It'll give you a chance to get a good, close look at some of the snakes that you think are so dangerous. Will you proceed into the snake conservatory, madam?
With pleasure, monsieur. Oh, look. Now, there. There's one of those great big snakes that give me the creeps.
Oh, that's a python. Oh. But we'll come to him later. Come over this way.
Well, this one is just as bad as a python. Look what it says there. Look. The bushmaster, deadly poisonous.
I know that. But there's a story that goes along with this snake that'll show you even the worst of them help mankind in some way.
This deadly-looking snake helpful to mankind?
Well, let me tell you a story about this snake. and then you can judge for yourself.
I can't imagine a story about this venomous creature being very pleasant.
No, it's not especially pleasant, but it does represent a chapter in the history of medicine.
Medicine? Oh, now I am all mixed up. Oh, come on, tell me.
Well, let me see. I think it was about 100 years ago that Constantine Herring penetrated into the forests of northeastern South America. It was dangerous going in that section back then. And this Constantine Herring was a German who had heard about the Arawak Indians there and was interested in learning about them for a university in Germany. He was in the country only a few days and was attempting to employ carriers for his expedition into the interior when he ran into trouble.
Herring, I tell you, they just won't do it. Those natives are afraid of that jungle.
Ah, they've lived here all their lives. They know the country. What's the matter with them?
All I can get out of them is snake. Some deadly snake that infests these jungles, and they're afraid of him.
A snake? That can't be the reason.
Well, just talk to one of those natives. They'll tell you.
That one over there. Bring him here.
Akonola, Kalio.
Hi, Tomino.
You speak our tongue. Tell this man why you will not go into the jungle with him.
Snake, very bad. He bite. You die. Quick.
According to what the natives say, it only takes a couple of minutes to die after that snake bites you. You die in agony.
Sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Sounds like an omen to me, Hang. I am in favor of staying out of that jungle.
Oh, don't be a child, Fred.
I'm not. I'm being sensible. Do you think I want to sleep out there where one of those things can get at me?
You, brown boy, have you ever caught one of those snakes?
No, only snake hunter. Catch, touch.
You know, Fred, I'd like to see one of those things.
But why? Isn't this country bad enough without inviting snakes in to have lunch with us?
I just have an idea. Just an idea.
Listen, Hang. I've done some foolish things with you, but I'm not going along on any snake-catching expedition.
You, brown boy, tell your snake hunters I want one of those snakes.
Snake? You want snake?
Yes. Tell them I'll pay well. Go ahead.
Look at his face. He thinks you're crazy.
Well, you do too, I suppose.
Oh, I'll reserve my opinion.
If my plan works, and I think it will work...
Plan? What on earth are you talking about?
You will see. Wait till they bring in that snake. You will see.
Hey, hey, where are you?
Here. What is it?
They've caught your snake for you.
Well, where is it?
The natives are bringing it over here now.
Hmm. Here, over here.
Look out, Hang. They're throwing the box at your feet. Oh, be careful.
Oh, he can't hurt you. He's in that box good and sound.
If you want to see just how bad that snake is, look at the natives.
Well, where are they? They're gone.
That's how bad he is. When they don't even stop for a payment, there's something wrong.
Oh, nonsense. Here, give me a hand with this, will you?
I will not touch that box.
Oh, you're as bad as the natives. All right, then. I'll do my experiment right here.
Say, has the heat gotten to you, Herring?
Oh, be quiet and get me a lump of sugar.
Lump of sugar? Listen now, Herring.
A lump of sugar, I said.
There's some right in that pack beside you, but wait a minute.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Here it is. Now, hand me that long pair of cold tongs, will you?
Here. I don't know what you're going to do, but if that snake gets out of that
well,
box...
Well, how do you unfasten this cover? There we are.
Good Lord, hey!
Don't grab my arm like that. Now, here you are, Mr. Snake.
He's bitten the lump of sugar.
Ah, there it is. See? Venom dripping from the sugar.
I think the heat actually has gotten you, Hang, making snakes bite lumps of sugar. Are you? Himmel, Hang, don't eat that sugar.
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
Hang.
There.
Hang, why did you do it?
I said I'd tell you, and I will. You know, I'm a student of homeopathy.
But why should...
We believe that in treating disease, some medicine should be given which will create the same symptoms in the body that the disease itself causes. We believe that cures can be effected in that way.
Using poison to kill poison?
Yes. My plan was to swallow some of this poison. Find what disease produces like symptoms and prescribe...
Look at me, Hang.
And prescribe for disease which affects persons that way...
Hang! Good Lord, Camino, help! Come here!
Hang!
What time is it?
Oh, never mind what time it is. How do you feel?
I'm all right.
Do you know what you did?
Of course I do. I swallowed a lump of sugar with snake venom on it.
Now lie down there. Herring, do you realize you've been delirious for days?
Yes, I remember a little. That's what I wanted to do. Remember.
Now what are you looking for?
A paper and pencil. I must write down the symptoms before I am completely well.
Herring, I thought you were crazy, but may I shake your hand?
Oh, no time for that. I may have discovered something wonderful. Something that may cure thousands of people. Give me my paper and pencil.
Great heavens, the man must have been crazy.
No, just fearless. He believed in something, and he saw it through.
But this snake venom, I've never heard of it being used in medicine.
Oh, it is, though. During the last few decades, research doctors have been attempting to cure many diseases by the injection of snake venom in minute doses.
Does it really work?
There's been lots of work done with snake venom, and there have been some promising results, too. But there are great differences of opinion on the subject, so we can't say that snake venom is generally recognized as an important asset to the medical world.
You can still keep them. Ooh. Just look at that bushmaster there.
He looks deadly, of course. But why condemn every other snake just because that one happens to be a bad actor?
Yes, but how about, well, rattlesnakes? And there's lots more just as bad.
Oh, I know that. But how about the harmless ones? Just as I said, an average-sized bull snake or a milk snake are many of the common kinds. Well, they'll eat 10 times their weight in rats and mice every year. That means a lot to the farmer. And the king snakes, being cannibalistic, will devour poisonous snakes as well.
I know, but that still doesn't...
And think what their rat-eating habit means in a country where rats spread disease. Snakes are invaluable in a country like that.
That's all well enough, but if you ask me, their bad points far outweigh their good ones.
Admitted. But again, don't condemn the whole snake family just because of a couple of black sheep. Rattlesnakes are bad, sure, and copperheads and vipers and all the other poisonous ones. But think of the non-poisonous one.
Oh, I'm willing to be convinced. But why didn't Mother Nature make the snake so formidable, so terrifying a creature? You know, it's awfully hard to love something like that.
Well, she probably did it for a purpose, for protection against their natural enemies. Do you realize what a swell target the long body of a snake is for nice, sharp teeth?
Plenty of length to take hold.
Exactly. And that's why she supplied some of them with poisonous fangs, and others with great strength of body to fight their enemies. Like these cobras here. Now, these things can strike and hiss like a 10-footer the minute they're born, when they're not even out of the egg.
They learn fast?
Oh, they have to.
Can you say they aren't born alive, that they're hatched from eggs?
That's right.
I didn't know that. Oh, look. Look at those two cobras there fighting.
Oh, they're just playing.
Well, they're kind of rough about it, if you ask me. What kind are these? Oh, king cobras.
Mm-hmm.
Are these the kind the snake charmers charm?
Snake charmers charm? No, you're thinking of the hooded cobra.
Do they really do that, old-timer? I mean, do they really charm them?
Well, I wondered about that myself until a couple of years ago. I found out. And now...
What are you laughing for?
I was just thinking about that day. You know, I was driving about the country with a friend of mine. We happened to be passing through a small town out west. We noticed that a circus was there at the time. We felt tired, and so we decided to take it in. Well, we bought our tickets and walked toward one of the tents.
Fatima, Fatima, the dancing girl. She wiggles, she shakes, she quivers, she quakes. That lovely lady from the heart of the Orient. You've seen her here on the outside. Now come on the inside. Only 10 cents. 10 cents.
How many, pal?
Fatima, lovely lady of the Orient. Since when did 42nd Street move to China?
Why, James, my lad, do you doubt the gentleman's word? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my.
Here, over this way, ladies and gentlemen, for the foremost attraction in our show, Candu, the optimistic.
Brother of no can
do.
Please,
ladies and gentlemen, his powers are known from here to Afghanistan. With his eye, he charms the deadliest of snakes. Look at those eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, Kandu is going to strain himself.
Kandu the mystic, direct from the courts of the mightiest Rajas of India. Now, right here on this platform, Kandu will display to you the powers that have made him famous from here to Singapore.
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Quiet, please. Kandu must have silence. Silence while he weaves a spell over this deadliest of all snakes. The mystic music, known only to Kandu. Watch the box before him. See.
Hey, look at that cobra, Jim. He's a big fellow.
Why, rising out of that box as though somebody called him.
See how the giant snake rises to the bidding of his master. Swaying, dancing. Again, Kandu has accomplished the impossible. The cobra is powerless before him.
Well, there he goes back into the box. Now all we have to do is play two bits, and Kandu will make him do the block bottom for us.
Hey, Jim.
What's the matter?
Look closely at our friend Kandu. Here he comes down the stairs.
Well, I don't see anything the matter with him.
Well, I do. Come on. Hey, you! Kandu!
You called upon Kandu the mystic.
Yeah. Now, Steve Mulligan, take off the beard. I know you.
You speak in a strange manner.
Oh, yeah?
Not so loud. Somebody will hear you. Be gone. I have no time. Hey, come on over here and I'll tell you what it's all about.
Come on, Jim.
Say, what is this?
Well, Kandu, what's the idea?
Boy, you almost spilled the beans, old timer. I'm supposed to be Kandu around here.
So you've taken up snake charming, eh, Steve?
How'd I do, pal? Some gag, eh?
Well, last time I saw you, you were working on a cattle boat. What's the story?
Well, the salt sea air didn't agree with me. Besides, this is a good racket.
Well, you do get around, don't you? Where'd you pick up this snake charming up?
Oh, in India, when I was there. Saw a guy with a towel on his head doing it, and I figured if a heathen like that can get away with it, I can. So I did, and here I am.
Can do. Steve Mulligan. Say, let me in on this. It looks great from the outside. How do you do it? Mirrors?
You would ask the great Kandu to give away the secrets of his cult? Never.
Oh, come on now, Steve. What's the secret?
Yeah, how do you charm those things, anyway?
Nah, there's nothing to it. You gotta know how, that's all. Now, see, here's the gag. When I was in India, I watched these snake charmers do their stuff. Well, there was one old guy I got friendly with, and he tipped me off. Cost me plenty, by the way. He says these cobras are deaf, see?
Deaf?
Sure, deafer than stone. Well, I says to him, if the darn snake is deaf, what do you play that squeaky old flute in front of him for? So the old guy tells me, it's just a gag. The flute don't have nothing to do with it.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah, so I says to him, I says, well, how come the snake dances back and forth like that? Any charms at all? Well, the old guy laughs and says, nah. You see, these cobras are deaf, just like I said, but they're extra sensitive to vibrations. You know, like if you pound on a floor within 100 yards of them, they flare up right away. But if you shoot off a cannon right next to their ears, they never even hear it.
Well, what's that got to do with charming them?
Everything. You see, being sensitive to vibrations instead of sound, like I said, when I sit in front of them, I keep swaying my body and thumping on the ground with my feet. Very rhythmical, see? Well, that's what gets them, the rhythmic thumping.
Then you play that horn of yours to the time you thump your feet.
And the cobra just listens with his whole body, so to speak. Some stuff, huh?
Well, if that doesn't beat something or another.
It's a good racket. Of course, I get kind of tired of the same tune all the time, though. But as long as it's legitimate, I ain't working on any cattle boat.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a special attractive offer from Kandu himself. Mystic Miracle Rattlesnake Oil. The most amazing medical preparation ever offered to the public.
Oh, how about that, Kandu? That legitimate?
Selling rattlesnake oil? Why not? Don't hurt anybody. That really helps them out sometimes.
Oh,
no kidding now. Look, if a guy pays a buck for a bottle of rattlesnake oil, he's going to try and get his money's worth, ain't he? Sure. So we tell him on the bottle, be sure to rub in well. Well, the rubbing's good for him. Can we help it if they think it's a rattlesnake oil?
So they might just as well use lard oil for all the good it does.
Well, that's right.
And now, that mystic figure direct from the palaces of the mightiest Rajas of India, Kandu the mystic.
Well, I got to go to my dance, boys. See you later. And don't forget, Campbell is the name.
Oh,
How do you like that?
Can do. Charmer of snakes.
That really surprised me, though. That part about cobras being deaf.
Oh, all snakes are deaf.
Really?
Sure. A snake's ears are as hard to find as his hips. They have ultra-sensitive inner ears, but not a trace of ears on the outside.
Then those inner ears pick up vibrations from the ground, is that it?
Exactly. That's really not hearing, and yet it is.
Wait a minute, though. How about the sounds that rattlesnakes make? What's that for?
Why, that's just nervous reflex, which other animals have to learn to steer shy of. One rattler never hears another's rattle.
Oh, I see. There's a snake I saw here a minute ago that's supposed to make a sound. It said so on the case.
Yeah, well, that's this one here.
Oh, yes, that's the one.
That's the Karun snake of the East Indies. Water snake he is. He makes a sound like a stick being dragged rapidly over a picket fence. You can hear it 100 yards away.
What good is it, though?
They probably use it as a signaling apparatus to other snakes when they're in the water.
Stop staring at me.
Who, me?
No, not you. That bright black snake over there.
Ooh. Well, that's Oscar, the water moccasin. Old glassy eye.
Glassy as...
As glass.
Yes. Why is that, old-timer? Why do snakes all have that same glassy stare?
Because their eyes are covered by a transparent cap that can't be lifted. That covering is simply the eyelid that's been transferred into a permanently closed window.
But can't they move their eyes inside the window?
Oh, sure. They have specially constructed eyes. Instead of changing the shape of the lens of their eyes like we do when we focus ours, they change the position of the lens. They have eyes that are built especially to focus on nearby small objects.
Wonder if there was ever a cross-eyed snake.
No one ever got close enough to want to find out. It ain't healthy.
See, now there you are. Even you're admitting snakes aren't so good after all.
Phew, did I leave myself wide open? But I've got a comeback, don't you worry.
Oh, yes, you'd better talk fast, mister.
You think they spend their lives taking bites out of people, huh?
Yes, and even you can't teach me different.
Well, that's true most of the time, but did you ever hear the story about the little boy down in Georgia?
No, what about him?
Well, according to the story, his mother was cleaning up the house one day. She noticed he wasn't around. She called him a couple of times and then strolled out in the yard to see if he were there.
Billy! Billy! Where are you, Billy?
Here I am, Mama. Come on and play with me.
Well, Mother hasn't time, dear. Now, don't go away from the house, Billy.
Aw, come on over, Mama. I want to show you something.
What is it, dear?
Look, he's playing with me.
Who, darling? Billy! Billy!
What's the matter, Mama?
Drop that
thing! He wants to play, Mama.
Good Lord, Mother, what's you screaming about? They can hear you all over the place.
Fred, look out there! Billy's playing with a rattlesnake! Fred, what'll we do?
Papa, look what I got.
Billy, oh, good Lord, if that thing ever bites
Fred,
him.
Fred, we've got to do something. It'll bite him. He'll die.
What can I do? If I go near Billy, the snake might bite him.
Daddy, come on. Stay with
Fred,
me.
Please do something.
Oh, I can't let him stay there. Give me that iron pipe. I've got to take a chance.
Papa, oh, you're going to play with me? Papa, what you going to do with that pipe?
Billy, please don't move.
Look, Papa. The snake has a nice, shiny tail. Oh, he's running away. Snakey!
Oh, thank God, Billy.
Snakey!
Billy, are you all right?
I'm all right, Papa. But my snake, he ran away.
My darling, Billy, are you all right?
The snake saw me coming and ran off through those bushes. I expected him to sink his fangs into Billy any minute.
And there he was, shaking it by the tail.
And it never even minded. Never even struck at him.
Fred, we can thank the Lord for this day, for the rest of our lives. I can't believe what I saw. I can't believe it.
Well, after that, I'm ready to believe anything.
Well, I'm not taking this stump in favor of putting a rattler in every home, but that certainly was a miracle.
Say, let's talk of something more pleasant. What were we discussing before?
Their eyes.
Oh, yes.
Snakes have eyes unlike any other animal in one respect.
How is that?
Well, the lens of a snake's eye absorbs all of the violet light in the spectrum, which is very important, because violet, for some reason or another, causes unequal refraction of light through it. By absorbing the violet, snakes are not bothered by this little trick of nature's and are able to see much better than ordinary animals.
Say, you know, I've never heard how a snake stands in the intelligence list. Are they at all intelligent?
I'm afraid not. They act by instinct. They die most of the time with exactly the same intelligence they were born with.
That's strange. Now, let me see. That takes in just about everything. Snakes are especially keen of smell and of sight.
When objects are close to them, yes. Otherwise, no.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, they don't hear as we speak of hearing.
In other words, if you were a snake instead of Mona Jackson, you would never have an earache or get dust in your eyes.
Right. And they do help mankind. Yes, I give in.
Hooray. Victory.
Say, wait a minute, though. I didn't even ask you how big snakes grow.
Ooh, 35 feet is a good-sized snake. The anacondas of South America grow that big. Then some kinds are as small as 5 or 6 inches, like the worm snakes.
You know, with you talking about all the good that snakes do, I was just thinking, why not turn harmless snakes loose in a section infested with rats or mice? They'd clean them out, wouldn't they?
Yes, and in short order. Why, down in Brazil, they even have a snake conservatory.
Really?
Sure. There's a snake down there that they call the Mus Un Ranu. It eats poisonous snakes. So they turn it loose on plantations down there to do away with the poisonous varieties.
Mus Un Ranu. That's a nice, swingy, smooth name.
Yes, a nice, swingy, smooth snake, too. Harmless to man, but deadly to the deadly. Just as many harmless snakes here are death to rodents. But don't forget, they do us no harm. If we let them be, they will put dollars in our pockets. Don't let us condemn so worthy an ally because of a few bad actors in the family. Learn about them. Know the bad ones from the good, and you will better appreciate their worth. Let us not think of the word snake as a synonym for deadliness, but rather as a synonym for the ground-going friend of man.